Once upon a time, in a galaxy far, far away, Jaesu and Keisu interviewed some pretty cool people. Here's one of those interviews now.
All right, this is Jaesu coming to you from Toronto Comic Con. I'm here with one of our favorite artists and authors, actually, Becky Cloonan. How's it going?
It's going good. It's Sunday morning.
How's your con experience been like this weekend?
It's been good. I've done Fan Expo before, but I've never done this Fan Expo. I've done like a big one.
Okay.
So this is cool. It's like a mini big Fan Expo.
Yeah, it's our first version
packed.
Too.
It's packed and it's crazy. I actually haven't even gotten to walk around yet. So
oh, wow.
Hopefully a little later today I'll take some time and like check out the rest to show me to buy something.
Nice. Now, my daughter and I are actually big fans of Gotham Academy.
Awesome.
How did the idea for that book come about, actually?
That was funny. So, like, I guess it was, like, a little over a year ago, Mark Doyle called me when he had just gotten promoted to be Batman group editor. and he was just like, I've worked with Mark a bunch before at Vertigo, on Demo and American Vampire. You know, we go way back. And he just called me. He's like, hey, I want to shake things up a little bit in Gotham, and you know, I'm reaching out to a bunch of people I've worked with before who I had relationships with, and you know, if you had anything to pitch, he mentioned a few of the series that they have rebooted, and I was like, what if I did something new? And he's like, yeah, totally, whatever you want to do. It could be like a one shot, it could be a mini series, it could be ongoing. And I was like, it's got to be ongoing, and I can't draw it. Like, I just don't. I mean, I'm working on a graphic novel on the back burner, so I just don't have the capacity to draw another book. And he's like, yeah, that's cool, you can write, do whatever you want. So Mark gave me like complete freedom, anything, carte blanche, and I was like, Gotham Academy. Yeah, it just made sense. It just felt, it was like one of those things, you say it and it just like rolls off the tongue. And he's like, well, who's going to draw it? And I looked over, and I was in Montreal at the time. Carl Kerschel was right across from me, 5 feet away maybe. And I was like, Carl Kerschel could draw it. He's right here. And Carl looks up from his desk, and he's like, what? What am I going to draw? And I was like, shh. And then I was like, but I'll probably need help writing it, because I've never written a monthly before. And I looked over, and my friend Brendan Fletcher was sitting like right across like kitty corner from me. And Brendan and Carl work together on the Flash comic for Wednesday Comics, and you know, they go back, they do the Assassin's Creed books together. And I've known Brendan for a while, it's very similar sensibilities. I was like, Brendan Fletcher will help me co-write. And Brendan looks up, what? And I was like, shh, it's okay. And then we put the phone down, and I started talking to him. I was like, what a great, check this out. I can do any book in Gotham. It's called Gotham Academy. And they're like, and Batman's not in it. And I was like, no, not really. Nope. It's just about these kids. And they're like, but Batman's in it, right? And I was like, no. They're like, why would you pitch a book? If you could do anything in Gotham, why would you do a book without Batman? But it just made sense. And organically from there, it just grew. And we've actually stuck really close to our outline from like the very first thing that we turned in. You know, when Mark first asked for a breakdown of our first six issues, it's almost, aside from like a few tweaks, you know, we've stuck really close to what we set out to do in the very beginning. And no one's like been anything but, everybody's been 100% supportive. Nobody's come in and like really asked us to change things or, we have a very specific vision for the project. So it's curated kind of to have a specific feeling, and it's fun. We want it to be fun, and we want it to be inclusive, and we want new readers to like enjoy comics. Yeah.
It's a great series, and you get to see a portion of Gotham that's never been touched on before, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that was inspired by Scott Snyder's stuff, his Court of Owls, and even before that, the Gates of Gotham, where he's going back in time and exploring the history of Gotham. You get the feeling like every building has a story, and that's how the first issue starts. And the idea with this is, you know, they're exploring mysteries, they're exploring Gotham, but they're also looking back at the history and going to school, which is, you know, it's a lot more fun than my high school. But
oh, yeah, definitely.
It still stinks.
And I read Damian Wayne's showing up.
He hangs out issue 7. We'll see him after the convergence break.
Right.
Damian Wayne is going to be at Gotham Academy. So we'll see how that goes.
And I guess there's even a tie-in coming out to Endgame?
Yeah, we got in on the Endgame action. And that's great about these. Mark's been amazing about it. He offered us an Endgame tie-in. He's like, if you want to do an Endgame tie-in, you can. If not, don't worry about it. It's very, like, whatever you feel like doing. And we were like, oh, we have to do an Endgame tie-in. Because everyone's got a Joker story, right?
Right.
So imagine instead of sitting around telling stories about, like, you know, Bloody Mary or, like, whatever stories kids tell these days. I don't even know. Ghost stories. You'd have Joker stories.
Right.
So, like, oh, say Joker's name 3 times and he'll appear in the mirror, you know? Like, what kind of stories would these kids have about the Joker? And we got a bunch of people. We got Cleo Chang, we got Joy Yang, and we got Vera Broxel on art, and Jeff Stokely, too.
Oh, nice.
So we have got some amazing talent on this book. And, yeah, they just let us do... They've been very supportive of just letting us kind of stick with... I feel like sometimes they, like, we just get away with a lot because we're one of the only, I think we're the only YA book at DC right now.
Okay.
So I think we get away with a lot just because we fly, like, right under that radar. Even though it's part of the New 52, we kind of just, like, you know, dodge weave a little bit.
Nice.
We're nimble, you know.
And who were some of your influences?
As far as art or stories?
Either one, writing or art.
Oh, God, that's a... Jesus Christ. That's a long list, and it depends on who we're talking about, and I can't even think right now.
Well, it is early, too.
Yeah, it is early, and it's very early. I think if you're talking about... when I was younger, the first comic I ever read was, and I can't remember who wrote or drew it, which is horrible, it was Silver Surfer Annual Number 1 from 1988.
Okay.
And it was like my gateway into comics. I read it over and over and over. My dad got it for me, and he read it because he's a big Silver Surfer fan. And then from there, I think that just opened up to, like, Jim Lee's X-Men. I started reading manga, too, so I got to, like, Ramna One Half and Yuko Takahashi. And you can kind of see those two things, like, a lot of the big Marvel comics of the time and later on Image, too. And then a lot of the manga I started reading, and that just kind of informed my sensibility to where I am. But, yeah, everything. I mean, I try not to stick too much with comics as an inspiration. I try to look outside of the medium for, like, either looking at literature or fine art or, you know, anything, music, movies, just taking a walk in the park, sculpture, you know, anything. You can find inspiration anywhere if you are open to it. So I try and keep that in mind. When making my comics, I'm trying to pull from other sources. I think, if you read Gotham Academy, there's a lot of, I wear a lot of those influences, like, on our sleeve. I think we all do. There's a lot of Dracula references there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of D&D stuff in there, gaming. You know, there's a Mr. Darcy poster on Olive's wall, and that's, like, you know, we just, it's literature. I don't know. It's nice to be able to include all that stuff in a comic where it makes sense.
Cool. And you do have a website people can go to check out your stuff?
Yes, it is BeckyClunen.net. That's my website.
Okay.
And it has links to other sites like Twitter and things.
Okay.
Which is, it's just Becky Clunen on everything. Anyway.
Oh, John has a question for you.
Hi, John.
Yeah, I got to chime in with something here. I haven't read the book myself. These guys are the fans of the book because I read your run on Conan and I love that.
I thought that
was fantastic.
That's fun.
The storytelling in that was brilliant. I couldn't put it down, that one for sure. I had a stack of other comics that I wasn't touching because I was too busy reading Conan. But I was just looking at the cover of this particular issue of Gotham Academy, and I saw that Carl Kerschel was the artist.
Yep.
Well, we're from the Niagara region.
Oh.
Carl Kerschel being from Welland, he's somebody that I
actually... Do you know Brendan Fletcher, too? Brendan Fletcher and Carl grew up in the same... Brendan Fletcher and Carl are childhood friends.
I've not met Brendan Fletcher.
You haven't met Brendan.
But I have met Carl Kerschel.
Have met Carl.
And he was brilliant to talk to, and actually one of the first portfolio reviews I ever had done at one of the first shows I went to, he was the one who gave me a lot of kind advice.
Okay.
So I was curious, seeing that he's the artist with this book, mm-hmm. How has that experience been? How has that collaboration gone? Because, like, obviously a fantastic artist. How has that been with the translation of your story into pictures with him? Like, how's that gone?
Well, we, you know, from the very first time we started talking about this, right after I had the poem with Mark, literally, it was an organic, very natural process. Like, the story just fell into place, and Olive was the first character that we thought of, and Carl's been very active in the story. He still is. We run everything by Carl. Carl will be like, this doesn't make sense, and he'll suggest fixes, and we'll do dialogue together. So it's a very organic process with us all. And if Carl needs background assists, I'll come in and, like, draw some backgrounds and do, like, character roughs or something if he's, you know, had our, you know, sometimes he got sick this winter, and so, you know, I was helping out with our duties. So it's nice to have that kind of like amalgamation, I think, on the scene. But Carl is phenomenal. This guy is like such, he's like one of the greatest cartoonists that I know.
And his storytelling is fantastic as well. Like even with that webcomic he did with Bond with Charles Christopher, that was fantastic. Like you read that every week and it was almost like you had a tear after every panel, right?
He's I mean, Eisner Award winning writer and artist, Carl Kerschel. Phenomenal. But yeah, it's so easy to write for him because I just write a basic script, but I know that he'll take it and just put his stamp on it. And he does layouts. Like, my sensibilities are so different from his as far as visual storytelling goes and how I would lay out a page. So I don't even have to worry about, like, layouts with him. I don't have to worry too much about any of that stuff. Character design, he just takes care of everything, and that's all Carl.
So it's a real team effort where you guys are like just naturally collaborating as if there's no effort whatsoever.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Part of it is the fact that we're all in Montreal, or I'm in Montreal occasionally, so it's really nice to get together. I think when you can sit down with someone face to face and actually have a dialogue about story and bounce ideas off each other, there's an energy and a magic there that happens that I don't think you get if you're just, you know, sending emails back and forth. Or in some cases, I know some writers that don't even get to talk to their artists. You know, they just hand in the script to the editor, and there's no communication at all. And I was like, this is so much more fun because we just sit down, and it's like, oh, like you can see the excitement, and it's like there's a magic there. We all have really good chemistry. The same thing with Andy. Andy, artist on Southern Cross, he's up in Montreal too, so it just gives me an excuse to come visit.
It's the perfect chance for everybody to just get together and be comfortable and get the work done.
Exactly. So you really can't beat face-to-face interactions. So I think for anyone out there who's having a collaboration, try and get some FaceTime in because you just can't beat it. The story, the outcome, the final product is always stronger because of that. I think you can see, like, we have so much fun working on it. I hope that people have that fun when they're reading it.
Well, it's now I have to grab all these issues from Jay and read them myself because now that I see who's all involved,
exactly.
Like, I don't want to miss out on that.
Yeah, you got a couple Niagara guys on there.
Yeah. Wicked. Thanks. I needed that question answered.
Yeah,
caught me in the right place. Surprise.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time today, and we look forward to more work from you.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.